Hello, and welcome to season 2, episode 9 of God's Not Done With Us Yet. This is take 2. So I was having a good old time over talking about all these shows, and I triggered Siri. Scared I would trigger her again. Talking about Kaser, I don't know how that triggered it, and it cut my recording. So hopefully this one, I will not trigger that thing on my computer and be able to talk about the show. So what I want to talk about this week is Yes the Key, Love and Marriage Huntsville, Counting On, and Big Brother. Not the Sunday episode that was on at 8 o'clock tonight, because at that time I was actually around 8:30 or 8:45 or something. I hadn't watched it because I was on the phone. And so I was recording for this show, but all that got messed up. So this is take 2, and I'll watch the newest Big Brother in the morning. So I promise you what I am saying is not influenced by the latest episode. And hopefully in the future, I will record before and post before the newest Sunday Big Brother is on. But you know, God's not done with me as well. He's still working on me and having all my stuff together. But let's just go ahead and jump into the show. Siesta Key. I thought it was a classic reality TV that I love and adore. These was two episodes, of course, because I was having issues with the app for Siesta Key last week. And I think it was stemming from internet issues. That's my suspicion, because people came to my door this past week asking if I had internet issues. I'm like, no, it was just slow. And later on, I was like, oh, I probably did have internet issues because I did switch to LTE for most of the weekend. But that's neither here nor there. Hopefully the internet is better. I think it is. I'm recording. I can record it through internet and not LTE. So I think it was better this weekend. And I was able to watch my sister Key. And it was fabulous. What I like was just bathy conversations and intense music scores. So the response to the music to what they're talking about would be so funny. Because they'd be like, I can't believe you had a fancy line. Well, I always wanted a baby suit line. The music would be like, boom, 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 boom. You think they're like running through the forest being chased by bears, but the way the music score is going. But they really talk about simple things. So it was entertaining to me. Of course, the biggest drama on the thing was Bikini Gate. Juliet, Kelsey was jealous of Juliet that she had opportunity to have this bikini line. She's been wanting to do this forever. And I also feel like she's feeling a little bit jealous that she got this new relationship with Sam, who they keep on saying over and over again, he a billionaire. I guess his family a billionaire. I don't know. I haven't looked them up to see how they got money. But I feel like Kelsey's a little bit jealous of that too, because you know she tried out for Alex and that didn't work. And she didn't really have a chance to try out for Sam, I guess, because she was with Gary, and she was with these other dudes, too, so she never got around to Sam. So I feel like she's a little jealous about that, and she's, like, accusing Juliet kind of low-key of being a gold digger, this and that. And of course, Chloe was happy. She was like, see that? She ain't no good. She ain't no good. But Juliet and Kelsey made up, and Chloe was kind of sad about that, I believe. But I believe Juliet really likes Kelsey. I don't know what I feel, but, you know, I don't really all the way trust Kelsey either. But if Juliet wants to continue to be Kelsey's friend, that's her decision. And hopefully she does not get burned. But if she does, she'll survive. She'll be okay. She will learn. It will be okay. I hope Juliet gets her $50,000 for her bikini line. Maybe it already exists. I don't know. I don't follow them on social media like I should, I guess, to learn this if she did launch it. But I'm sure she will eventually. The other things in the show was Chloe. Chloe was still kind of reeling over Madison. In these past two episodes, Madison dumping her. I think the results of that was that just Chloe has a strong personality and she was steamrolling Madison, and Madison finally got fed up. And really, I don't even think she already got fed up. I think someone who is has a little bit of weaker personality, you can't have a lot of strong personalities in your life. And right now, Ish is that strong personality. So I just think she just replaced Chloe with Ish. And she did assert herself a little more. At least she said that she did not really have an interest in moving to LA and the look of some houses in Florida, and Ish complied. Of course, he did not like any of the houses because most of Florida is not fancy like Miami is not fancy, definitely not fancy like Los Angeles. So of course he wasn't gonna like anything. Like, yeah, it's waterfront, but Florida is not really like trendy, or there are some nice things. You can find some nice things in Florida. I won't lie, but for the most part, you're gonna kind of get what they were touring. Like, it'll be waterfront, but it's gonna be regular. And it's not even regular because it's gonna be huge. You know it's money, but it's just not gonna be shiny. I don't glossy. It's just Florida's a little more down to earth, I'd say, I think, than California. But I think it's smart for Ish's income level. Of course, he's gonna want a little young girl, but to get a Florida girl because I don't think they have as much expectations or wants or needs to be happy as we had versus we had got somebody that's been in California and used that California lifestyle for too long. They would expect so much more or want so much more money, you know? So, you know, Madison and Ish is doing Madison and Ish. They said like the next episode, Ish gonna convince Madison she's going to Los Angeles, which is not surprising. So hopefully Madison learns how to express and assert herself, not only assert herself, but actually advocate to the point that what she wants happens. And the thing I wanted to say that I would pray for Chloe about is that Chloe, because it really hurt her, she really cared about Madison. But when you're dealing with someone who's more passive, you kind of have to really pay attention, really take the time to check in and give them a chance to really listen and make sure their needs are being met and what they want is being met and that they feel safe enough to express themselves, even if it might be contrary to what you believe. So that's just something I'll pray that Chloe has the insight to be more cognizant of that when dealing, because I think some people with stronger personality, they get along well with, or they like people being around people who is a little more passive, but then you run the risk of hurting them and offending them. Eventually, they're gonna get fed up and leave, or replace you with someone else to be their steamroller. But yeah. I think that's what happened. Other things in the show, they had a lot of other stuff in the show too, but those are like the main themes. And just based on the locations and stuff, you didn't really see everything. I think like the Ashley and Jerry situation. Apparently Jerry was cheating on Ashley, and he told a boy, and a boy broke boy code and told everybody else. And I thought it was kind of messed up. The boy code is don't tell folk when your boy is cheating, protect him and that. That's kind of messed up, you know. Girl code essentially, don't mess with your friends, past anyone they cared about. You know, the line of don't mess with your friends, men, but that line is kind of blurred. Like, okay, is that your man or not? Y'all ain't never really dated, but he's still breaking girl code. Is it don't date anyone your friend really cared about? And your friend got a big old heart and love everybody, and your life is gonna be a little more difficult. But there's plenty of fishes to see. But yeah, that's the girl code. And I guess guy code is don't tell if your friend's cheating. That is as messed up to me. That kind of happened on Love and Marriage Huntsville. He had to sit there and talk to that boy. You know, your daddy ain't had no 20 girlfriends. I was trying to get under his skin. I don't know if he was lying or not. I done jumped into something else. Let's go back to Sister Key. But another issue was the Brandon Camilla slash Amanda issue. We all know that Camilla was, even Camilla knew that she was kind of a rebound girl. She's just available. And so Brandon was taking her up on it. And of course, she was feeling insecure when the girl he really wanted was paying him attention. And Brandon was kind of messed up, kind of low key gaslighting him, like, "You acting crazy. What you doing? We ain't doing nothing." She kind of had reason, but I think also she should have just, when she first noticed, like, okay, he don't really like me like this. Just let him go. Let the fishy go. So she kind of put herself in a bad situation as well. So that kind of happened. In the end, Brandon ended up in the corner sad on New Year's, which isn't funny. Poor little Brandon. He be trying. Especially guest star of the episode was Yves Saint Laurent, the purse. They had some great product placement. Two times I noticed the purse. Once with Juliet. It could have been different purses, but it's the same type of purse. Like, it's very reminiscent of the Chanel quilted purse with the chain handle, but this is like Yves Saint Laurent, so it's like a Diana Wool quilt, and they got like a chain a little bit and a knot chain, if my memory serves me right with this purse. This is a popular brand from Florida. I don't know if this brand is super popular like it is in Florida and other states. I think it's like popular because it's high, it's like a brand name, it's designer. I have a feeling it might be less expensive than Chanel. I haven't looked at the price for Yves Saint Laurent bags, but I would imagine it's less than $10,000 because that kind of bag that kind of reminds me of. I feel like it's $10,000 from Chanel. But I don't know. I think they had a good low moment. I'm probably gonna look it up before the end of this year to see how much it costs. I highly doubt I would purchase it because I don't have the resources for that. But I'm sure people who maybe not check for them before will go look for them, and they might get a little sales boost, especially in other states. Because I feel like people in Florida, if you were kind of into designer bags, you probably looked it up and then bought one if you got money like that. But other states, who knows if they're really thinking about that brand like they do in Florida. So anyway, the people on my list to pray for is Chloe and Kelsey. The other show is, Love and Marriage Huntsville. And while I was entertained by Sister Key, I don't think this show is working my nerves. Just the marriages, the conditions, the things I saw watching the marriages really kind of like grieved my spirit and grieved my heart. Kimmy's husband, some of the things he was saying in the episode, like he didn't really seem to be consulting his wife for raising his son. And then he was kind of saying towards Kimmy, he was like a dictator light. He didn't say dictator light, but he said he's like dictator who would listen to her, but not really taking into account her opinion. I wasn't really feeling that. That was rubbing me the wrong way. And then, Tisha and her man's relationship was kind of like always just blah. And then you have Melody and her man. I don't remember these men's names. They were having issues with finding a nanny. Like, who's gonna find a nanny? And they both was like overextended with work. And I was like, oh, this is. I don't know if this is, is this marriage for real? I don't know. I'm not married. I don't really talk to married people like that. So I think what I want to do is get a. Maybe get a special guest host to talk about Love and Marriage Huntsville to see if this is normal. Because I'm sure a married person probably talked to other married people and they might have some interesting perspective to talk about, to learn. It'll be interesting. But for now, so I'll see if I can find someone. But for now, because I don't know. This is why I have a podcast. Don't know who else be watching these shows. But regardless, I want to pray for Tisha because I think she is operating out of hurt. I think it's causing her to suspect and see things that's not all the way there, or to take a bigger offense than she needs to some of the things that people say. Is because it's just kind of just triggering past hurts and past insecurities and past traumas that haven't been all the way healed. And I think her mother operates in that same vein. So I'm going to pray for both of them because when you're hurting, you do things that don't make sense to people who do not understand how hurt people operate and who are not sensitive to people who operate out of hurt and insecurity. And I just think that's just what she's doing. So I want to pray that, you know, she can be healed and her mom can be healed from that type of stuff in Jesus' name. And moving on to Counting On, I thought this was a fabulous episode. I loved it because Ginger had a fabulous surprise party. I loved every minute of it. I thought it was wonderful to watch. I was so entertained and just enjoyed the decorations. I loved that it was like black tie. I loved that she loved the surprise. I loved the little gift with the photo. I loved it, the family, everything about it. I was like, oh, this is fabulous. She loved to see it. Oh, I was so entertained. You know, you had other stuff on there. That's typical Duggar episodes. You know, they had a double date, Abby and John and Joy Austin. You know, that's typical Duggar stuff. And then Ginger had a photography class. You know, Duggars love to do some different little activities. Of course, they had the saddest thing on there. Ginger had a miscarriage, like right after they announced it. That was very sad. I thought that was kind of neat. They actually kept it in the show. They could have easily just cut all that stuff out because we had plenty of other stuff to watch, you know. But they kept it in, so I thought that was kind of cool to bring awareness to how common miscarriages. So I want to, you know, have miscarriage again as a prayer on this. I shouldn't have been messing with my microphone, but regardless, I want miscarriage. I just realized what I was doing. I want miscarriage as a prayer to talk about, and then I also. I want to pray for Ginger as well because, you know, she went through that, even though it was so long ago now, but I'm sure when they air this stuff, it kind of brings back memories and stuff. So, the moment we've been waiting for, Big Brother, we're going to talk about it. So, as you know, Tyler is the incoming HOH, the current reigning HOH, and Nicole is out. At first, I thought Memphis was playing a punk game, but as in the end, I think he did really good with his reign. I think it's too early to do big moves. I think people who do big moves early in the game, they end up having been tagged as a wild card, and they end up having a huge target on their back. I don't really see them going far. So I think he played it very well, especially since he's actually kind of playing both sides as well. So he did this. I think this was a great head of household play for this early in the game, especially since he got somebody in the house that was not out of the house that was not a number for him. So I think that worked for him. I think both Nicole and David are not playing, we're not playing good games at all. The only reason why Nicole is out and David is still here because he had better alliances. I think Tyler taking him under his wing really helped him. And Tyler's like real connected in the house. So, of course, Nicole was gone. I'm gonna pray for Nicole because I finally watching this, I realized that she does not. I feel like her edit was a little bit more generous last year than how her game is. I actually think her game was adjacent to Victoria. The only difference from season 16, I believe, the only difference between her and Victoria is that she actually won a, did some little bit surprise wins. A competition toward the end, and you know, Victoria did nothing. I didn't really watch that season, but I knew enough to know that Victoria did nothing, and she was just completely carried the whole time. And Nicole was pretty much just being carried most of that season, but and she was there ready to cut her, but she ended up doing that surprise win, so she got carried a little bit further, and I think she had another surprise win. And of course, she kind of showed how she does not make the best decisions when she sat there and chose a showmance over Tommy. So that kind of all solidified to me like, oh, she's not that great watching this season. How she completely misread the room again and thought Janelle ain't, was not for her and not helpful and was not able to see that people was blowing smoke. To say to not trust her because it was the big alliance in the house trying to keep her calm as she went out. So the only thing I think would have been neat with this episode. So I, of course, from all this, I was at peace with her going at this time because by realizing this, I realized, oh, she's gonna be annoying on this show because she's just gonna be misreading things, the whole thing is just gonna be irritating me. And there's not really room in this game for a lot of people to be carried. So I'm happy she is gone right now. I think one thing she could have did in her goodbye speech, aka appeal speech, that would have been interesting, at least interesting show for the show, and something I will be interested in seeing in Big Brother is making a split vote. They kind of force Memphis to show his cards. I think that would have been interesting. I think if she had brought up that idea maybe 10 minutes before voting, maybe an hour before voting, and maybe 30 minutes before voting. I'm not changing where she should have did it. You don't want time for Memphis to button that stuff back up. But you want to like plan a seed. This is what we can do because I have a feeling Memphis is playing both sides of the house. And this is something we can kind of show that we can really see where his loyalties lay, and it will help you in the game. Most likely I'm out anyway, so I would like to do this for you all. I think that would make some good TV, and I feel like that's one thing I learned from Survivor is they're really good with splitting, voting strategically to split the votes to kind of throw people out because they could have split it in a way that you wouldn't even know who the alliance is. Which side wants what. And that, yeah, that would have been really entertaining and really interesting. And I really want for what for I don't like Memphis so much in the game, so I would like for him to show his cards so they could be more of a case for a bigger target on his back in the future. But, that didn't happen. I think it would be neat for it to happen. I'm running a little over time, but I will continue with my Big Brother soliloquy. David, I said earlier, he's not playing a good game. I think he's only where he is because Tyler kind of took him under his wing. It's kind of like a Nicole situation last year. That's why Nicole kind of, she got someone to appeal for her. And I feel like that's kind of what happened with David. I feel like he made a faux pas, not sharing anything with Day. What the Lord smiled on him, the fact that of all the people to do that to, Day was the perfect person. And she still stayed loyal to him, even though he kind of did her dirty. David, yeah, I kind of see why he was doing that because he was having layers of alliances. It shows that he wants to be more aligned with Tyler and the people over there than maybe Day. Or maybe he wants to show, he didn't want Tyler to feel like he can't be trusted. That's why he didn't want to share anything and possibly get back to him. But usually in a situation like that, what you want to do is give her something to make her feel comfortable, make her feel like they got a good relationship. It don't have to be everything. It don't even have to be, it didn't have to even be real. Give her something though to feel like he's trustworthy. Maybe, okay, give her something real. Don't give her everything though. But so yeah, I feel like he has like a lot of growth to get better. I don't think he's that great competitor from what I can see so far. So I don't have a lot of hope for him that he's going to do good, but he might surprise me. He might turn out better in the end. And I love a good surprise for the better. So we'll see what happens with David. Okay, so now my standings. And this is how I got cut off last time because I triggered the machine that likes to talk to you when you say their name. So I won't say their name, hopefully, or say anything like their name so they won't start talking and cut off the recording. But regardless, I have four categories with my standings. I have my targets offense, I have my sweet spot, I have my spendables, and I have my target defense. I feel like the names are pretty self-explanatory. And so let's go through the list, and I'll start from least in danger to most in danger. Or should I start from, I'm going to start most in danger to least in danger. So let's start with the people who are most endangered, in my opinion, or the expendable people, especially this early in the game when you don't want to. Usually, the target defense people are the people you're trying to get out. And they're the people that you're able to get out because the power lies with opposite side and they are on. But usually, because they're especially all stars, they're really good at the game. And a spendable person would go. That's what happened last week. Nicole left, and I think she was is. I don't know if I marked her as expendable, but I should have. But I didn't. She was definitely expendable. And so this week, I think expendable people are Bay and Day, David and Kevin. So of course, I'm praying for Bay and Day because they are people that I like at the moment. So I'll pray that they survive. And of course, I want to pray for Nicole because I think she's dealing with a lot of hurt, and I just want to pray for her for that. I feel like her mistakes are just a result of her being hurt and her not being able to discern properly because just she was just blinded by past insecurities and past feeling like, she's not worthy or someone's always trying to get her out or pull the wool over her eyes instead of someone genuinely wanting to trust her and genuinely wanting to work with her. That just comes from rejection and then feeling like because you were rejected in the past, you will always be rejected. And that's why it seems like she really gravitated towards other people who kind of deal with rejection, which was like Kevin. He kind of plays that same type of game, like, please accept me, please accept me. So, like, no, I'm someone you will want to work with. It's a certain vibe. And so I just want to pray that Nicole is free from that type of bondage. Anywho, yeah, that's who's on my expendable list. And then the people who are target defense, so these are people the house is not on their side, with Tyler being in power, and they're definitely people with targets on their back, and that will be Ian, Kaser, and Janelle. That's who's on the list for that, in my opinion. And so they're the ones I think they're going to be gunning for them, that they're probably going to be on the seat, one of those three, and we'll see what happens with that. Of course, I think they're pretty good game players, so there's a chance that one of the expendable people will go instead. We will see. Maybe not. Maybe if Janelle and Kaser end up on the block, one of them will end up going. We will see. I think the target offense people, I think they'll be okay this week because Tyler is in power. I think those people are Cody and Memphis. Memphis kind of got on people's nerves, even though I feel like he played a good head of household. I think that he's probably a target in the house, and I think, but it's not really his time to go right now. And really, the side that he created, they are still in power, and they've been in power this whole season so far. And of course, Cody. I think he has a target on his back. But I think because he is paired with Tyler and Tyler's head of household, he is okay. And I think both Cody and Memphis will influence Tyler's reign as well because of their connections and their alliance together. So let's move on to sweet spot people. Even though Tyler is head of household, I think he is in the perfect sweet spot. Everyone wants to be aligned with him. Everyone wants to work with him. And ain't nobody thinking about him. And even though he's winning comps and making head of household, no one's thinking about putting him on the block. So he is coasting it out. He is in a very great position. I think Enzo is a sweet spotter. Christmas, Danny, and Nicole F. Yes. Kaser and Janelle did mention Nicole's name, but they're not really checking for her. So I think she's good. Kaser and Janelle, but everyone else in the house aren't really checking for her. That's what I mean to clarify. So yeah, that's pretty much my recap for those four shows or three shows. How many shows? Let's count. One, two, four shows. Yes, my first brain was right. Let's jump into the praying. Dear Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this evening, Lord. I just pray that everyone who can hear my voice, that they just have a blessed day and a blessed week, that they grow a little bit closer to you this week, that they know you a little bit more, than they knew you knew you last week. I also pray that you show yourselves big in their lives, Lord, that you start to reveal yourself to them, reveal that you're real, reveal that you're there, reveal that you care for them, reveal that you'll never leave them and forsake them. And whatever those secret desires, those secret things in their heart that they need, that those things will be provided this week so they can know that you are real and that they are loved by you in Jesus' name. I just come to you today with a few prayers based on the shows I've been watching. Lord, I just pray for Chloe, and I pray for people like her who have strong personalities, Lord. I pray that these people, that their heart is more sensitive, their heart is pricked to be cognizant. People may not see and may not communicate their feelings or see the world the way that they see it. And I pray that they can be able to make the environment they're in a safe space for others to be able to speak and others to be able to express themselves and others to be able to say what they're feeling, even if that thing might be contrary and different than people and with strong personalities. I pray that they can take notice where if they're saying something that might be offensive or saying something that might make another person feel not safe, that they can be aware of that and can check in with that person and be able to talk with them and communicate and not even just communicate but show that they are a safe place, they're a safe space to be able to communicate what they're going through, what their concerns are, what their wishes. And I just pray that they can also be more Chloe and people like Chloe could be more sensitive or aware of opportunities to really bring out the insight of those who may not be as much as forthright and forthcoming with what their position is in Jesus' name. I also pray just for marriage in general. I see that marriage is a difficult thing. It's two people with completely different backgrounds, perspectives, and thoughts coming together and trying to work together with life and family and raising children or, developing businesses and things of that nature. I just pray that all the marriages in Love and Marriage Huntsville, that you strengthen them, Lord, that you give them guidance, you give them revelation of things that they can do to make their relationships around them more helpful and more healthy and more beneficial. Lord, I just pray you minister to each and every one in their hearts and their spirits and their minds and their bodies, Lord. They can be more sensitive to the one they're married to and treat them as how you would want them to be treated, as they would want to be treated themselves, and also, Lord, how you are leading and guiding them to treat them. I just pray for humility over each and every one of them. They can be able to be more humble than they were ever before. That they can see the value and appreciate the value in humility and not just appreciate it, but also strive to be humble themselves, Lord. And through that humility, Lord, they can learn more about the person that they're with, the person they're married, and learn more how to live in harmony with them. And not even like a forced peace, but like a real, truly God kind of harmony, God kind of agape love for each other. I pray that they can love their spouses just like you, Jesus, would love the church, how you were willing to give your life for them, how you're willing to put your needs behind their needs, Lord. And I just pray that as they put the other person's need behind the other person's need, their own needs, that all of their needs will be met in Jesus' name. Lord, I also just pray for Tisha and Tisha's mother, Lord. And they both appear to just be dealing with a lot of hurt, a lot of rejection, being able to have to fight a lot of battles. Lord, I just pray you just go down deep in each of them, in their hearts and their spirits and their minds and their souls, and heal whatever is broken, missing, and lacking, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician. You, all things are possible through you. Any type of hurt or trauma or pain, Lord, you're able to heal and fix, Lord. We can just say the word and we know that you will make each and every one of us whole. So I just pray for wholeness over Tisha, wholeness over her mother, Lord. Whenever the lies of the enemy speak that someone is against them or someone doesn't appreciate them, someone doesn't love them, or they're not good enough, or they're being made fun of, whatever it is that's going in that tape reel in their head is not true. I thank you, Lord, they're lovers of the truth, and they will not accept that as the truth anymore. They will reject it, And instead, they would fill their minds and their spirits and their hearts with your word. Would you say about them how they are fearlessly wonderful made, that they're absolutely beautiful, there's no flaw in them, that they have the mind of Christ, Lord, that they are able to discern well and be able to tear down any stronghold that may assault themselves against your standard and your will and your way in Jesus' name. I just thank you wherever you have placed them or designed them to accomplish and do that, they realize that in the earth sooner rather than later. I even say right now they can realize who you have called them to be and who you have called them to do right now in Jesus' name. I pray and thank you, Lord, for giving us this vision and insight and destiny, birthing that which you have placed into them. I pray it's watered and it grows, Lord. And I pray that any type of weed that's trying to choke it out is uprooted in Jesus' name. I pray that they bring those hurts, those pains, those memories, Lord, things that did not go well. I pray they bring it to you, God. And you can take that and make it new in Jesus' name. I pray if they need counseling or anything like that, they're able to find a good counselor, Lord. They're able to have people insert in their lives, Lord, to really minister your will, minister from your spirit into their hearts and mind and being, Lord, so that they can be more functional in the earth, Lord, more effective in the earth for you, for your glory, Lord. I just thank you for the turnaround in both their lives. And that you can be praised and you can get the glory from that turnaround in Jesus' name. Lord, I also just pray for just people who are going through miscarriages or people who went through miscarriage or people who are remembering their miscarriage, specifically Ginger, Lord, who has went through one sometime around December of last year. Lord, I just pray that you, those people who went through those things, that they know you care for them, Lord. You care about the details of their lives, Lord. I just pray you bring comfort and peace that goes beyond understanding, Lord. And you continue to comfort and bring them peace, Lord. I just pray, despite what this bad thing has happened, Lord, I pray that it does not deter them for striving towards your promises and trusting your promises and trusting in the things that they promise you. And I thank you, Lord, that they are people that light themselves in you, Lord. And as they light themselves, that you give them the desires of heart, and that includes the children. I think children they may want and they may desire, Lord. I think you says in your word that none should be barren in land and or miscarry, Lord. So I just come against anything that's functioning wrong in these babies, Lord, anything that's going on wrong. I just pray for healthy, life-giving pregnancies and life-giving births, Lord, and healthy babies in the earth. Due to your will and your way, Lord. I know that's your will, that none be lost and none that perish, Lord. So I just thank you, Lord, that your will coming forth more and more each and every day in this earth. In Jesus' name, I just pray that when you could be able to heal these women's hearts to the point that when they think about these miscarriages they may have lost, that it doesn't bring a sting, Lord, but they also have the hope and a joy and anticipation that they can meet these little ones in the future, in heaven, Lord. And we just have faith that that can happen in Jesus' name. Lord, I also just pray for the people of Big Brother. I pray for Nicole. I pray that she does not look back on this experience with shame or trepidation. I pray that this experience and last year's experience, this is the end of those type of things, those type of memories, even times before she may have been rejected or felt rejected, that this will no longer hold her back. I just pray, Lord, that she exchanges beauty for ashes, that she can give you the ashes, you give her beauty in return, and that she becomes a very confident woman of God, Lord, that you just fill her up with your word and your purpose and your destiny, Lord. And I just pray from spending time with you and being closer to you and knowing you more and more, that her confidence grows, Lord, that she begins to know and love the value that you have placed inside of her. And she starts to operate and interact with people in a position of strength, Lord, instead of weakness, Lord. It's still humility, but strength and strength and humility, knowing that she is valuable, what she has to say is valuable. And but also just not seeing herself above or better than people, but also not putting herself below other people, because you know we're all equal under your eyes in Jesus' name. Lord, I also just pray for Bailey and Davon who are on the show, Lord. Just continue to shower them with grace and mercy, Lord. that you can lead and guide them. I pray they can hear your voice as they play this game. You just lead and guide them on how to operate on this game, and they have good success in it. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray just for people who their vision is skewed, or how they perceive things, or their perceptions of people, or they're having issues knowing who's for them and who's not for them just because of past hurts. I pray, I come against those who are misidentifying people who are for them, people who are against them. Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you, Lord, that you're eradicating confusion, Lord. I pray these people that any type of blindness removed, Lord God, any type of fogginess is clear, any that they have lovers of the truth, Lord, that the voice of the stranger they not will not follow, they no longer believe or hold on to the voice of the accuser, Lord. I pray that they're able to understand what is sinister and cast that down with your word, with your fruit of your spirit, Lord. And instead to operate in your guidance, your love, and your peace. And Lord, it says in your word, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. Seek your will in all they do when you are direct their path, Lord. So I just pray people realize that word, and not only realize it, but walk in it to seek your face in every situation, and everything. And then you, I know you will. You're great and you're faithful. You're a good guy. You will show yourself strong. You will show them as we follow you that things will work out for your good and your glory, Lord, and things will even work out for our benefit. It might be rough, we get rough, bumpy, or it might not be exactly how we have planned it to be. But I just thank you, Lord, that we will stick with you, Lord, that we will not get weary in our real doing, that we will reap a harvest of blessings if we do not faint out. And as a result of that, we will experience all the promises that you have for each and every one of us, Lord, and that we will start making good moves. Prosperous moves, Lord, that it will be obvious that your hand is upon us, Lord. It's obvious that we are in your presence, Lord. Obvious that your favor goes before us like a shield, Lord. It surrounds us like a shield, Lord. That you're our front guard and our rear guard. We don't have to have our head on a swivel because you are watching out for our back. We look to you, Lord, it says like 10,000, 1,000, whatever on one side and the other side, that we will not fall because our eyes are stayed and fixed on your glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, it says in your word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Lord, and everything will be added unto us, Lord, as we have our priorities straight, as we focus and we concentrate on the right things, which is you and your goodness and your glory and your kingdom, Lord, and bringing other people to your kingdom. As our priorities are correct, then everything will line up perfectly in our lives, just like how you take care of the flowers perfectly, just like how you take care of the birds perfectly. All they do is walk and chill, you shouldn't, they be fine for the most part. You know, sometimes our poor little geese be getting hit by cars. But I just thank you, Lord, you be watching out for these birds. And you be taking care of them. They be living a life. It's funny, they call people bird on the internet because they don't be thinking. But we don't got to think like that. We can trust in you, Jesus, and you'll watch out for us. So I just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your graciousness and your power and your love and your strength and your care and your direction, your comfort, Lord. I just thank you that you're the number one supreme being of the world, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we continue to seek your face, continue to know you more and more each and every day. And that we just continue to trust and believe that you are Lord and you are King. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, that is it for God's Not Done With Us Yet. I hope you have a fabulous, wonderful, great week. And I'm going to believe that I will as well. And talk next week. Bye.